Okay, today's daf is Yuma Daf Mem Tes. Today's shir is sponsored by Moshe and Alana Bookbinder in honor of the forthcoming Afruv of Sam Lauer and upon his forthcoming marriage to Rina Berkovitz. We wish the Sam and Rina a Mazel Tov and a Mazel Tov to the entire Lauer family and Berkovitz family and Bookbinder family. Mazel Tov, thank you for the sponsorship. So we are holding on, we finished Daf Mem Chesam and Beis actually. We're at the very top of Daf Mem Tesam and Aleph. The Gemara was discussing, the last Shaila that we discussed in Daf Mem Ches was about Halacha B'Smol. What if a person, Kohen, carries is Molech, a part of the Karban, the Dam of the Karban, with his left hand, carrying it in his left hand. So we thought we could maybe bring a Raya. The Gemara did bring a Raya from the fact that the Kohen Gadol in Yom Kippur carries the Ketores B'Smol, so we see that Halacha B'Smol is Kasher. So the first thing we're going to do is continue the discussion about Halacha B'Smol. We're going to talk a little bit more about the left hand. Then we're going to raise a few other questions. We're going to raise a question about if another Kohen does the Chafina, the Kohen Gadol doesn't do the Chafina himself, another Kohen does it, and then places it into the hands of the Kohen Gadol, is that good enough? We're going to discuss whether Kohen Gadol does the Chafina himself, and then he dies. Does the new Kohen Gadol who takes over for him have to do his own Chafina, or could he just take the Ketores that the original Kohen Gadol had done? In that context, we're going to go on a little bit of a tangent about Refuah B'Shabbos, about medicine on Shabbos, and it's also going to bring us to a discussion of Chofein V'Chozer V'Chofein, whether when the Kohen Gadol goes L'Fnai V'Lefnim, does he need to do Chafina again? I mean, he's already got it in a spoon, he already has it in the ladle, so can he just empty it from the ladle onto the coals to burn the Ketores, or is he going to have to put it back in his hands to do another Chafina and empty from his hands onto the coals to burn the Ketores? So that's going to be the discussion of Chofin, Bechozer, Bechofin. And then on Amud Beis, the Gemara is going to discuss what if a Kohen Gadol Shacharas Hapar on Yom HaKippurim, and then he dies after the Shechitas Hapar. Can his backup use the dam of that par, or does the new Kohen Gadol not use the dam of that par? He has to Shecht his own par. Those are the various shailas relating to Chafina and related issues that we're going to have in today's daf. But again, the last discussion we were having is about Halacha B'Smol. So we had concluded at the end of yesterday's daf that Halacha B'Smol is kosher, that you're allowed to be molich dam of a karbon carrying it in your left hand, because after all, by Ketores, the Kohen Gadol in Yom Kippur is supposed to, not just allowed to, but he's supposed to carry the label of Ketores in his left hand. So says the Gemara on the top of Mem Tesam Ralph Mesve, Zarva Onein, Shikru Balmum, Bikabalu Balachu, Bzrika, Pasul. The following people are not allowed to do Kabbalah or Halacha or Zrika, and if they do any of those avodas, Kabbalah, Halacha, or Zrika, it's going to be Pasul. Someone who's not a Kohen, a Zar, someone who's an Onein, someone who's a Shikr, someone who's drunk, and a Balmum, so all of those people are disqualified, but not only them, the Chen Yoshev, similarly someone who's sitting down, because the avoda has to be Lamod B'Sharei, one has to be standing when doing the avoda, v'chein small puzzle, and also in the left hand to do Kabbalah, Halacha, or Zrika in the left hand is puzzle. So we see explicitly that the carrying of the dam in the left hand, Halacha, is going to be puzzle. How can we say that it's kosher? Says the Gemara, Tiyufta. You're right, it's a Tiyufta. Even though the Gemara tried to bring a Raya from our Mishnah that it's kosher by Ketores, that does not necessarily mean it's kosher by Halachas Hadam. It's a Tiyufta on anyone who says that it's kosher by Halachas Hadam. Tosfos Yeshanim has a couple of points over here. First of all, Shikr. When we talk about someone being a Shikr, what do we mean exactly by Shikr? There's a Sugya Maseches Bechoros where there's a Machlokas Rav Yudah and the Rabbanan. If someone is a Shikr, Mishar Dvarim Velo Miyayin, he became drunk, but not from drinking wine, from drinking other Dvarim HaMashakrim, other drinks that cause one to become intoxicated. Is that going to Pasul the Avoda or not? If Shikr Mishar Dvarim, Lav Dafka Miyayin is Pasul the Avoda, or is it only Dafka Miyayin? So Rabbi Yehuda holds, even the Sharim HaShakram would pasul the avoda. It's just that you're not chayiv misa on it, but it would pasul the avoda. The Chum say no, only a shikr miyayin would be mechal the avoda. So Rashi in Maseches Zvachim over there writes in the Afidalan Beis that the brisa over here, our brisa, is assuming like the shita of the Chachamim that shikr means shtuye yayin bilvad, and that's why the Chum hold that only a shikr miyayin is mechal the avoda, and that's what our brisa must mean. It must mean dafka shtuye yayin must be not referring to any other type of shikr. Tulsa says, no, over here by shikr, it could be talking about any shikr, even mishar dvarim and mishakrim, and it will be mechal di avoda, not like the shita of the chacham, like the shita of Rabbi Yehuda. Now Tulsa Yishanim points out, over here by shikr, afilu avishasu yayin, gon shasa bi idun bia. Tulsa Yishanim over here says that when we say shikr over here, he may not be a shasu yayin, meaning it may be a separate psul other than shasu yayin. That let's say he didn't drink at the shas bia at the time that he was going in, but he was still shikr from drinking earlier on. So that's not called shasu yayin, but nevertheless he still would have a psul of a shikr. So Tos Yishanim sounds like he's saying that even if he didn't drink wine, he would still have a din of a shikr. So it's subject to that dispute between Rashi and Tosos. Now we said smol is puzzle. That was our point. That's why it's a tiyufta. In Rabbeinu Eliyakim, he writes that the din that you need to do the avod to be a min, and if you do it b'smol, it's puzzle. That's not just the din lechatchila. That would actually be pasul like the Gemara says. The Rambam paskins this way as well. That all avoda, the Rambam hilchsbias migdash parakei alach yudches, that avoda b'smol in general is gonna pasul the avodos. The Kesef Mishnah is just not sure. Is it a psul daraisa or is it a psul derabanan? Because after all, by Ketores we allow it. So that leads you to believe that maybe it's a psul derabanan because we allow him to carry the Ketores in his left hand. Otherwise, we wouldn't allow it if it were a psul d'oraisa. There's also a discussion. Rashi in Maseches Bechoros raises the discussion: what about a lefty? So what's the issue with the lefty? So the Rashi in Bechoros points out that he's psul avoda because it says v'tavol be'etzba'o bedam, and a kohen is einu el yamin. So you see that it's a psul in the avoda that he has to do his right hand, but he can't do the right hand because the avoda has to be done with the right hand, but it's not his right. His right is his left, so therefore it's a psul in the avoda. So the lefty is not able to do the avoda. Other rishonim understand that no, that a lefty in some way is considered to be like a balmum, that is considered a mum to be a lefty. So it's not a technical din in the avoda; it's a din in the kohen himself, a din in the mum in the kohen. But anyway, this is a tiyufta. You see clearly from here that bismol it's going to be psul. So frankly, Gemara, how did Rav Sheshes miss that? Rav Sheshes, who Usva. Rav Sheshes is the one that knows all about this brisa that teaches us this small as possible, and yet Rav Sheshes was one who raised the question halacha b'smol mahu on Memches Amud Beis. He's the one that asked the question, but we know he knows this brisa. How do we know he knows this brisa? Because he used it to ask a question on someone else. Damalei Rav Sheshes ta'amari de Rav Chista, because Rav Sheshes once said to Rav Chista's, I guess what they would call the sheer assistant to Rav Chista's gabai. So he said to he. He once asked the question to Rav Chista's Gabbai, "Boy, my name is Rav Chista. Please go ahead and ask Rav Chista the following: Halacha bizar mahu. What's the halacha if a czar wants to do the halacha? Can you let the czar carry the dam to the mizbeach?" So Amar Leik Shera. So the response came back from Rav Chista that it's kosher, that a czar is allowed to do the halacha. Umikra misayeni, and he says there's a pasuk in Divrei Hayamim that says like this, because the pasuk says vayishchatu haPesach vayizruku haKohanim miyadam. So that pasuk implies that halacha is okay with a czar because it talks about kohanim and levim, but not by halacha. By halacha, you don't need kohanim and levim. So most of Rav Sheshes, so Rav Sheshes is the one that attacked that pasuk of Rav Chista and said, "What are you talking about? Czar va'onein shikur balmum bekabalo behalacha ubezrika pasul v'chein yoshev v'chein small pasul." That on the list of people that are pasul to do the halacha is a czar. So how can you tell me a czar is allowed to do the halacha? But you see, bottom line, from the fact that he asked that question, that he knows this brisa. If he knew this brisa, what was he asking in the first place over here about halacha b'smol? The same way he knew halacha b'zar is no good, he should have known originally that halacha b'smol is no good. Says the Gemara, basar d'shama hadar osva. You have to know the timing of these two conversations. First, he asked the shayla that we have in our Gemara about halacha b'smol. They told him this brisa that halacha b'smol is no good. once he was now aware of this price, he was able to use it against Rav Chista about halacha bazar. So frak the Gemara, but for Rav Chista kraka amar, how could Rav Chista have been wrong about halacha bazar? He had a pasuk in Divrei Hayamim backed him up. Says Gemara, da avud maisa itztava. The pasuk is talking about a zar not doing halacha, but doing maisa itztava. What does that mean? Says Rashi, hamekablim hayu moshivim es hadam biyad azarim vein azarim makrivenos on the side of mizbeach chal el moshivim adam al yadim kasher al gabi itztava. The people who do the kabbalah sadam would sometimes have a zar hold on to the dam for them, not to do anything, not to move with it, not to bring it any closer to the mizbech, just to stand there holding the dam for them. That's all the pasuk was talking about. That's as far as the zar would be able to do. So it has nothing to do with the with actual halacha. Rabbi Chananel has a little bit different. Rabbi Chananel, in the last skinny line, da avid meisa istva kolomar. Kulam omed b'shura zu, moshel lezev, b'shura, ze moshel lezev, ze moshel lezev. V'alacha shlo b'regel ki agavna, ve'in alacha ben klal. The way Rabbi Chananel understands it is that the Zarim actually would get the dam closer to the Mizbech, but none of them would walk with it. They would line up. The Zarim would all line up, and each one would pass it from one to the next, and that way the dam ultimately got to the Itztava. Shar Mitzion Balacha raised an interesting point over here that I completely missed when I first read the Gemara. When Rav Sheshes had this question to ask Rav Chista about Halacha Bizar Mahu, why didn't he just ask Rav Chista? He asked Rav Chista's gabbai. Why would he have to ask? Was Rav Chista so inaccessible? You couldn't ask Rav Chista the shayla himself. You had to ask Rav Chista's gabbai. So one might say, well, maybe that was just the way it was done. That he didn't have time to ask Rav Chista. There wasn't the derech. It wasn't considered the derech to ask straight to the Rebbe. Not during the drasha. Afterwards, the gabbai would take questions and bring it to the Rebbe. But if that were the case, then why would the Gemara emphasize dafka over here? Meaning the Gemara never does this. Never that they asked the amore de Rav Chista, that he asked if that was just the standard way it was done, so we certainly wouldn't need to emphasize it in one place and not everywhere else, that they asked the amore de Rav Chista. So Shar Mitzion Balacha suggests that it could be based on the Gemara Maseches Erev and Daf Samach Zayin Amud Aleph, Rav Chista Rav Sheshes Ki Pagi Bade Adadi. Specifically, these two people, when Rav Chista and Rav Sheshes would meet each other, Rav Sheshes Mirta Kule Gufe Mipulpule Rav Chista. Rav Sheshes was terrified of Rav Chista. His entire body would shake Mipulpule Rav Chista. He was afraid to ask him questions. He wasn't ready to be Mekabel Rav Chista at all times. He had to really prepare himself to be able to ask Rav Chista. He had such a pachad of the Rebbe that he wouldn't ask Rav Chista directly. So it could be that's why that Rav Sheshes felt he needed preparation to ask Rav Chista something. He wasn't just going to ask him something directly. Rav Zilberstein discusses in Chashuk Echemet, what if you have a Talmud who has a question to ask his Rebbe, but and his Rebbe's around, but at this moment the Talmud's not dressed so appropriately. So in many circles it's mekubal that a Talmud wants to go ask a Rebbe something, he puts on a jacket and a hat and he goes to visit the Rebbe. So should the Talmud ask the Rebbe even when he's not prepared? So Rav Zilberstein says maybe there is such an inyan that you should dafka prepare yourself to speak to the Rebbe, that you should have that sort of pachad. It's interesting, the Rambam, when he describes the relationship in Hilchas Talmud Torah, Perek Dalet, Alecha Dalet and Hey, how a Rebbe should act toward a Talmud and how a Talmud should act toward a Rebbe, the Rambam writes that a Rebbe who's teaching his Talmidim and they don't understand what's going on, if he sees that they're not understanding, he shouldn't get angry at them, he should be patient and teach it over and over again, and the Talmud for his part shouldn't say Hivanti when he doesn't understand, he shouldn't say I understand when he doesn't understand, he should keep on asking as many times as it takes. The imkas alav rabo, and if his Rebbe gets angry at him, v'ragaz yomlo Rebbe torihi v'lumurani tzarech v'daiti k'tzara, he should say, Rebbe, what do you want from me? I'm trying. I need to know. I'm sorry that I don't understand it so well. The Talmud should not be bosh mechaverav, who already got it the first and second time. He should keep on asking, even if other people didn't understand it. And that's what the chacham mean when they say ena baishan lamad. So says the Rambam, that's only bizman shelo yivinu atalmidim adavar b'fnei omko. That's only if the Talmidim don't understand it either because it's a difficult sugya or they're simply not intelligent enough. than b'divrei Torah. U'mesrapin alehen lefichach lo ivinu chayiv lirgos alehen ulachliman. This used to be the style in Litva, the Litvisha Rosh Yeshiva, when they saw that the Talmidim weren't trying hard enough, they would berate them, they would yell at them and scream at them, shikr, what are you, what are you, and that's what the Rambam says, lachliman, to humiliate them, b'dvarim k'dei lechadadam, in a way of trying to push them to be better. So the question whether nowadays that still works. Nowadays they'll just run away. So it's not gonna help to be mechadei talmidim. But that was the style for many years. People said it was Saturn of Salvechik Shir in the old days before he went through the year of triple avelus. They said they were terrified, absolutely terrified. So maybe if a talmud is so he said he asked for Chaim Kanievsky, what if a talmud has this pachad of his rebbe? Is it better to send somebody else to ask the rebbe instead of him asking the rebbe's questions? So Chaim said no. He has to go through the experience of asking the Rebbe himself. It's different than the situation of Sheish Yisrael Chista, because it could be that it wasn't Mishum Pachad, it was Mishum Kavra Torah. There's a difference in Kavra Torah and Pachad. But anyway, that's this relationship that Rav Sheish has had with Rav Chista, that he wouldn't even ask him the question directly. Okay, that was the end of the discussion of small, of halacha b'small. So now the Gemara raises a new issue. Boy Rav Papa, another shayla of Rav Papa. Chafan chaveru v'nasan l'tol chafnav mahu. What if someone else did the chafina and then put the hands full of ketores into the hands of the Kohen Gadol? Is that good enough? Melo chafnav b'inan v'ha'ika. Do you just need his hands to be full? Meaning you need that amount of ketores that will fill his hands, and you have that. Or maybe the same person who's bringing the ketores in has to be the one that's velakach, that actually took the ketores in the first place, and that you don't have. So take who the Gemara leaves this unresolved. So if you look at Tosos says, well, wait a second, we already raised the shaila earlier about whether velakach vehevi be'inon or not. Temali, hayibayulela el kvar, ki agavna, gabe bena benayim. Remember the whole shaila about the ketores that stuck in between his fingers was also about whether we darshan velakach vehevi or not. So v'yesh lomar b'imtim tzulomar ka'amar. So says Tosos, yes, we're aware of that, and we're asking this shaila as an imtim tzulomar, meaning to say as follows. Imtim tzulomar bena benayim lo. If you want to tell me on the shayla of ketores stuck between your fingers, that's no good. Delo karibe v'lakach vehevi, because that's not a fulfillment of v'lakach vehevi. Kiven delo asi mikach gavra, since the ketores stuck between your fingers didn't come mikach gavra. No one ever picked it up. It just sort of landed there. It sort of just got stuck there. Hachamai, what would be the din over here? Mi amrina alfa gav delav yu chafan mikamakum kivan de mikach gavra kasi shapir dami. Maybe over here it's better because at least somebody did chafina on this ketores. It came mikach gavra v'shapir kriyim revelaka halokeach mishahu v'yasam v'chafnav shal koyin gadol v'hadana ayelhu v'karibay melo chafnav v'hevi. So maybe v'lakach v'hevi doesn't have to mean that it's the same person. It's that you need a maisa l'kicha and a maisa hava, and you have that with two different people. Or maybe no, v'lakach v'hevi is that you need the same guy who does the l'kicha to do the hava. That's how Tosfos understands imtim tzulomar. The Ritva understands imtim tzulomar the reverse. I see you looking at that. It sounds like it's got to be the reverse. The Ritva says the reverse, that the Savig of Rav Papa is different than the Savig of Bein HaBinayim, because by Bein HaBinayim everything was in the hands of the Kohen Gadol. It's just that there wasn't a Maisa Lekicha on that which was Bein HaBinayim. So Rav Papa's Safik is if you need a Lekicha B'Meskavin or not. So Imtim Tzulomar that you don't need a Lekicha B'Meskavin, what if you still have a Safik? Does he need to do the Lekicha himself? Or maybe V'Lakach of the Pasuk is talking about the Chafina, and not only on the Melo Macht of Gechalim. And so he's Messiahim by saying that it's Mestavra that really Rav Papa had this Suffolk previously, but the Gemara just put the Suffolk over here. Meaning the Ritva at the end says maybe in Echanami there's no difference between the Sveikos and it's not an Intim Salomar at all. Maybe it's just the Suffolk was raised once and we're showing different applications of the Suffolk. We had an application of the Suffolk, here's another application of the Suffolk. Fascinating comment of the Tosefes Bikurim on the back of the Bikuri Yaakov, at the end of the Sefer Bikuri Yaakov, uses this Gemara to be poshe de shayla in Hilchas Lulav. Bikuri Yaakov raises a shayla in Hilchas Lulav in Simitav Reish Nun Beis. Someone who takes a Lulav picks up a lulav before Alos HaShachar, and it's still in his hands when Netzach HaMakab, still in his hands when the sun rises in the morning, does he need to take lulav again? Is he being mekayim the mitzvah of lekachtem lechem v'yom harishon priyatzad, etc.? Is he being mekayim the mitzvah of lekicha of netilas lulav because it's in his hands? Or do you say, no, he has to do a maisa lekicha. He needs to pick up the lulav in order for him to be able to say the mitzvah of lulav. So he says, based on the understanding of Tosfos, the Safek of the Gemara, whether by chafina we need that he does the lekicha, he who does the lekicha also should be mevi, or it's good enough that someone else does the lekicha and someone else and another party will be mevi. So if you're going to say that whatever is in your hand is called lekicha, then what's Rav Papa Safek, the Kohen Gadol, who's nosi b'chafnav, is doing a lekicha because it's in his hands? I mean, if you say that lekicha doesn't mean doing a maisa lekicha, lekicha just means that it's in your hands, so then there's no safek, because as long as it ends up in his hands, he's doing v'lakach. V'lakach doesn't mean that you have to physically take it. V'lakach is even if when you're holding it, it's already v'lakach. So it leads you to believe that that's not called v'lakach. That v'lakach means you have to actually pick it up. So by lulav, it would therefore mean that the person would have to take lulav again. Chazanish is not so convinced by that, right? Chazanish in Orachaim Kuf Mem Tes Os Beis says that no, by chafina could be that by there's a din of chafina mitoch chlishares. So it's not a din in a chisaron in lekicha that v'lakach v'hevi just means do the chafina. V'lakach, we're not saying that it's a din in what's called a lekicha, what's not called a lekicha. The problem is that you need a chafina mitoch klisharis and you don't have that. So by lulav, it could be that just having it in your hands is called the lekicha. But by menachos, whether it's called lekicha, if it's even if it is called lekicha, it's not miklisharis, and therefore it's going to be problematic. We mentioned the Netziv yesterday, that the Netziv is mochiach from our sugya that lekicha below kavana is not called the lekicha in general. That in order to do a lekicha, it has to be lekicha bekavana. When the Torah says lekachtem lachem, some of the achronim, the Shari Ziv, suggest lekachtem lachem at the shas lekicha, it already must be lachem. You must own it. Let's say you take, someone gives you their lulav and asrog to hold. You pick it up and then they say, oh, you know what? It's yours. So are you mekayim the mitzvah on Yom Rishon when you need lachem? Lekachtem lachem. You see, you didn't do the lekicha at the shas that it was lechem. So if you say like that you actually need to be the owner of it at the time of the lekicha, so they could be miyashiv the kasha, the kapos tamarim in Maseches Sukkah. The kapos tamarim raises the question why we need by lulav a miyut that tells us that you need lekicha lekol echad ve'echad, that every single person needs to do netilas lulav. Every mitzvah that's on the guf, mitzvah of tefillin, etc., you always need eating matzah. Of course you need the kol echad ve'echad. You don't need a drasha that you need the kol echad ve'echad, but maybe that's the drasha. Maybe what it's trying to teach us is not that everybody, of course everybody needs to do the mitzvah, but it needs to be le kol echad ve'echad. You need to be the owner at the time that you do the lekicha, not just to be the owner at the time that you have, that you're still holding on to it, but at the time that you do the lekicha, you still need to be the owner. Maybe that's the drasha. Okay, next shaila. Let's say the Kohen Gadol does the chafina and then he dies. So can another person, can the new Kohen Gadol take the ketores that the first Kohen Gadol took in his hands full? So I'm Rabbi Chanina Borei Shalt Sheila Sarishonim. He says, wow, that was a question that the earlier generations asked. Meaning, what he means to say is that I asked this question and now I hear that Rabbi Shua ben Levi asks it. Rabbi Shua ben Levi was from an earlier generation. Amazing. I was mechavin to Rabbi Shua ben Levi's question. So the Maimon, Rabbi Shua ben Levi kashish? Wait a second. Is Rabbi Shua ben Levi any older than Rabbi Chanina? That Rabbi Shua ben Levi is going to say that I was zocha to ask Rabbi Shua ben Levi's question? Is that really so? So now the Gemara is going to quote an entirely unrelated discussion just to prove that Rabbi Shua ben Levi was not older than Rabbi Chanina. But the discussion has nothing to do with anything we're learning. It's fascinating anyway. Vam Rabbi Shua ben Levi. Rabbi Shua ben Levi said as follows. Hita Rabbi Chanina lishtos shachlayim b'shabbos. Rabbi Chanina, Rabbi Shua ben Levi says that Rabbi Chanina allowed eating, drinking cress on Shabbos. Lishtos pshita. Of course you're allowed to drink cress on Shabbos. Anything that's a normal food that normal people eat, anything that's a normal drink that normal people drink, even if you happen to be, you have a sore throat, so you're drinking tea with honey because you're trying to soothe your sore throat, you're doing it for refuah purposes, but it's a normal thing that people sometimes have, so that's that you're you're allowed to have on Shabbos. There's no iser to have such things on Shabbos. By crest, dafka, the Gemara tells us that it's not good for all parts of the body, meaning it's healthy for some parts of the body and is damaging for other parts of the body. So nevertheless, it's still considered, even though it's not a total machal briyim, because it could upset someone's stomach or whatever, nevertheless, anything that's a machal briyim, anything that normal people eat, so that would be, some of the poskim wanted to be makel with aspirin, because people sometimes take aspirin as a preventative measure, so they wanted to tell you that it's a machal briyim. So that's questionable whether something like that could be called a machal briyim, or machal briyim means a food, meaning something that you would make a bracha, and something that would be considered a regular food. Okay, but anyway, so of course you're allowed to drink the kress. Elishchok v'lishtos shechlayim b'shabbos. No, his point was that you're allowed to grind it up and drink it on Shabbos. It says, well, grind it up. Hey, chidami. Idik asakanta mishvashari. You're talking about a cholash yishva sakana. So of course you're allowed to grind it up. V'delak asakanta meser asir. But if there's no sakana, why are you allowed to grind it up? L'olam dika sakanta. No, we're talking about that there is sakana. V'achi kami b'ayilei. Mi masya d'nechal alayu shabbata. Olo masya lo nechal alayu shabbata. Does it work? If it works, you're allowed to be mechal Shabbos for it. If it doesn't work as a medication, then you're not allowed to be mechal Shabbos for it. Umayshna Rabbi Chanina. Why are we dafka quoting Rabbi Chanina? Mishum debaki berfuos, because he was a baki berfuos. So that's why we're quoting Rabbi Chanina about drinking the kress on Shabbos. This was not a halachic issue. We're not quoting Rabbi Chanina for his halachic expertise. We're quoting Rabbi Chanina for his medical expertise, or he was a pharmacist or something. He was a baki berfuos. Dam Rabbi Chanina me'olam l'shal ni'adam al makas. Pray the Levana V'chaya. Rabbi Chanina says, no one ever asked me about getting injured from a white mule and lived from it. It's such a terrible thing. When you get injured from a white mule, you have no chance of living. But the implication is that people ask him medical questions all the time. That no one ever asked me about a white mule either and lived or died for that matter. No one ever asked me anything about a white, because I'm not a doctor. But Rabbi Chanina apparently had all these questions asked him. So frankly, Gemara, but he's wrong about that. V'kachazina D'chaya. We do see that people live from it. Se'ema v'chayis. No, he means to say that it never totally heals. V'kachazin d'mitzi. That's not true either. We do see that it does heal. V'sumkon inhu v'chivron reishker ayu kamina. No, he meant a specific type of mule that's red, but it's the tips of its feet are white. That type of mule there's no recovering from. But mikol makom shamina d'Rabbi Chanina kashish. But at the end of the day, we do see from this whole maisa, from this whole conversation, that Rabbi Chanina was actually older than who was Rabbi Shua ben Levi, right? So how do we see that he was older than Rabbi Shua ben Levi? So if you look at Rashi. Rashi points out Shmamina Rabbi Shimon Levi lo avakashish mi dekari le Rebbe dekamer li hiter Rebbe Chanina v'lo yedarech hazakenim lomar al bachrim Rebbe. The fact that when Rabbi Shimon Levi quoted Rabbi Chanina about the medical issue about drinking the kress, he called him Rabbi Chanina. He never would have called him Rabbi Chanina if he was just a bachur, if he was just a younger person when Rabbi Shimon Levi was the senior authority. El li hiter Chanina haya omer kalomer li amar Chanina shi refua. He just would have said Chanina. He wouldn't have said Rabbi Chanina. The fact that he says Rabbi Chanina shows us that Rabbi Shimon Levi must have not been older than Rabbi Chanina. So therefore, we're back to the question. What did Rabbi Chanina mean when he says that it's a She'ilas HaRishonim? That because Rabbi Shimon Levi raised this question of Chafanu Meis, so the Rabbi Chanina gets all excited that it's a She'ilas HaRishonim? Rabbi Shimon Levi wasn't Rishon, he was contemporary. Elahachi Kamar, She'iltam K'She'ilas HaRishonim. No, what he meant to say is, what Rabbi Chanina was saying was that I'm the senior authority. Rabbi Shimon ben Levi is the young kid. And when Rabbi Shimon ben Levi asked the question, Rabbi Chanina gave him a compliment. I thought of that same question. So you're asking good. You're asking like I would have asked. So Rabbi Chanina must have been older than Rabbi Shimon ben Levi. And that's what he meant to say. That you've asked a question that's on a level that someone who's a more senior person would have asked that same question. So frak the Gemara, umiyam Rabbi Chanina hachi, does Rabbi Chanina really say this, or does this really say what? Meaning, is he really mesupak if you could be nichnas, if someone else could be nichnas with the chafina of a kohen gadol who has since died? Is he really mesupak about that? V'hamar Rabbi Chanina bepar v'lo bedamo shel par. Doesn't Rabbi Chanina teach us that when it comes to going with using the par of the kohen gadol on Yom Kippur bezos yav aron al kodesh, that he has to come bepar, not just bedamo shel par? Meaning, if a kohen gadol shechts his par and then dies, the new Kohen Gadol cannot use the dam of that par to go lifnim. He's going to need to bring his own par, right? The Kohen Gadol has to go bipar with his own par, not just domo shel par, the blood of someone else's leftover par. Vamre b'chanina, ketores shechafna kodim shechitas par, lo asav lo klum. And Rabbi Chanina taught us that ketores, that you do chafina on before shechitas par, is worthless. So it's going to have to be that it's done after the shechitas par. That's the Seder Avoda. So if he does chafina and he dies also l'chora, you should it can't be that he shechted his par already. So the Kohen Gadol takes over. Obviously, he's going to have to bring a new par. But if you say that he's allowed to go b'chafinaso shel rishon, it turns out that the chafina was done before the shechita of the par of the second guy. So it says Mar Hachi Kamer Mitkami Bayle Ha Mechal Duksav Bepar VaFilu B'Doma Shel Par. No, what we mean to say is from the fact that we even raise this question about the chafina, so the implication is that he holds Bepar VaFilu B'Doma Shel Par. That when it comes to the blood of the par, you're allowed to bring in the dam of the previous Kohen Gadol's par. You don't have to shecht your own par. Now, based on what we assumed originally, that he said that it was a good question that you asked the Shailas Rishonim, those who disagree and say Bepar Vafilu B'Doma Shel Par, so May Havela, what would the Halacha Taka be if Chafanu Meis, if the Kohen Gadol does the Chafina and then he dies, can someone else go in with his Chafina? Amrav Papa, so Rav Papa says it depends on the following issue. Do you need to do a new chafina when you're inside the Kodesh HaKadoshim? That's what the whole issue is going to depend on. Whether someone else, whether when Kohen Gadol A does the chafina and then dies, the new Kohen Gadol can just use that ketores, is all dependent on whether there's a new chafina done lefnai v'lefnim. Now, which way does it go? So that's a machlokas amaran. Rav Papa says, "Ichofin v'chazer v'chofin." If you hold that you need to do a new chafina inside anyway, so chaveru nichnas b'chafinaso, then you can use the dead Kohen Gadol's chafina, because after all, damekayim chafina, the new Kohen Gadol will do chafina because he's going to do it again when he's lefnim. He's going to have to empty the. He's going to have to empty the ketores from the ladle into his hands and do a chafina anyway. So since he's going to need to do his own chafina, you'll be mekayim mitzvah chafina with the new Kohen Gadol. So you can take the same ketores that the original Kohen Gadol did. The shaila is, what if you're not going to do your own chafina? There's not going to be a new chafina lifnai v'lifnim. So then that's the shaila, whether you're allowed to use the previous Kohen Gadol's chafina. Amalei Rav Huna b'Rei d'Rav Yeshua. Rav Huna b'Rei d'Rav Yeshua says, no, you got it backwards. L'Rav Papa, Adraba, Ichofin v'chozer v'chofin, lo yikanis achar b'chafinaso. If he's going to need to do his own chafina b'fnim, then he cannot use the previous Kohen Gadol's chafina. Why? Efshar shelo yechsa v'shelo yosir. Because there's no way both of them have exactly the same sized hands. So it's going to be off a little bit. Previous Kohen Gadol filled up his two hands. New Kohen Gadol has to fill up his two hands when he's inside. It's not going to be the right amount. It's not going to be the proper shear. The ein chofin v'chozer v'chofin tibayilach. The whole shaila is if he doesn't have to do the chafina again when he goes inside. So that's what the issue is dependent on. So again, both Rav Papa and Rav Huna b'Rei d'Rav Yeshua agree that the issue of whether a new Kohen Gadol can use the chafina, the ketores that the old Kohen Gadol did the chafina on, is completely dependent on whether chofin v'chozer v'chofin, whether there needs to be a new chafina lefnai v'lefnim. They just argue which way the shaila goes. I shouldn't say completely dependent, because the way Rav Papa phrased it was that if you hold ein chofin v'chozer v'chofin, it's still a shaila. It's only if you hold chofin v'chozer v'chofin, then we know for sure that you're allowed to use it. Now, if you look at Tosos says, wait a second. If within Rav Papa, he said if you chofin v'chozer v'chofin, so then you're allowed to use the old Kohen Gadol's chafina. Tema. If there's a din that you need to do two chafinas, how can Rav Papa suggest that the new Kohen can use the old Kohen Gadol's chafina? You need there's a din that you need to do two. So v'nir dachi purusho ichovin v'chozav v'chovin l'fisha min haTorah ein l'davar kitzva sheyach l'lichvan kol kach pa'amu kamo sheyirtza. When we say chovin v'chozav v'chovin, it doesn't mean that we're saying that there's a requirement to do a chafina again bifnim, that there's a requirement mido raisa to do multiple chafinos. What we're saying is that you're allowed to mido raisa. That mido raisa you can do as many as you want, and therefore as long as you have the right amount of ketores, and therefore the chachamim made a takan to do it again bifnim, just in case, nispazim min haketores, in case you lost any along the way, so you'll do a new chafina, and therefore the shir will be determined based on your new chafina. So that's the assumption, that if chofin v'chozer v'chofin, then of course the Kohen Gadol can use the previous Kohen Gadol's chafina, because he's going to do his own chafina, and that's really going to be the determinant of what's kasher to use for the ketores anyway. So that's why, that's the real shayla. The Tosa Rush points out that the suffix of chofin v'chozer v'chofin or not is because the pasuk says melo chafna v'hevi, so it sounds like you have to be mevi b'chafna v'dafka. So the fact that we allow a person to use a kaf, we allow him to use a ladle, that's because it's yefshar ba'ofen acher. So at least l'kol ha'pachos, you can have to do a new chafina b'fnim before the haktarim, because really the whole hava, the whole process, really should have been b'chafina. So when maybe if we do beginning and end, so we forget about the fact that the middle was in a ladle. That's the whole suffix of the Gemara, why you would have to do it again. In Tosa sounds not that way. Like we just saw in Tosa, sounds more that it's a takana midrabanan, that it's not darshening based on the pasuk. It's all based on a takana midrabanan. Okay. So says the Gemara further now. So divaylu chafin v'chozer v'chafin alo. We raise this shayla: do you do a double chafin or not? Do you do a new chafin again when you enter the Kodesh Hakadoshim or not? So Tashma, the Gemara is going to bring two rayas. Raya number one: kachay semidasa. So the Mishnah says kachay semidasa of the chafina. My love, k'shem shemidasa v'chutz kach midasa mibifnim. Isn't that what that line in the Mishnah means? That just like the same exact measurement that you had of chafina b'chutz, you have also bifnim. So you have to do it again bifnim. So says the Gemara, no, that's not what the line means. Lo, dilmashim ratzalasos mida osa. Maybe that line just means that if you want to make a measuring kli that's exactly the size of your chafina, that you're allowed to do that. Remember, we had some confusion about what that line meant, and the Gemara had concluded that we don't know what that line means, and therefore you can't prove anything from that line, because it has multiple possible interpretations. Inami, shalayachsa v'shalayosir. Or maybe that kachi midasa just means that you have to have exactly that amount of ketores, no less and no more. So Tashma says, well, let's bring another raya. Ketzaru, again, we're trying to figure out, do you do a second chafina lefnei v'lefnim? Ketzaru osa. How do you do this second chafina inside the Kodesh HaKadoshim? So it already starts out making the assumption that you're doing a second chafina inside the Kodesh HaKadoshim. But it happens to describe it, the Brisa describes what you would do. What the Kohen Gadol would do. Ochezes habezach barosh etzba'osav. He would hold the ladle with the tips of his fingers. The yeshomrim b'shinav. And some say with his teeth. And he would keep on moving it and tipping it until it gets to the handle between his elbows. And then he would tilt his elbows in such a way where he'd flip over the ladle so that he could empty the ladle into his hands without spilling any of it by flipping over the handle of the ladle with his elbow. So that's what, because he went in carrying a ladle. Now he's got after he puts the shovel down, he can't put the ladle down, but he's got to get it into his two hands. But one of his hands is holding the ladle, and he can't put the ladle down. So he's got to use the ladle, maneuver it with his teeth at first, or with his elbow, and get it back into his hands. Sounds difficult? Yeah, the Gemara says very difficult. The Sovereign Kedeshiye Osna Shoa Lavo, and he piles it up all at once so that the smoke, the room won't fill the smoke so quickly, because it will take a while to burn through the whole pile of Ketores. The Yeshom Refazra Kedeshiye Ashanim Meharis Lavo, and some say that he should scatter it over the coals so that it smokes up very quickly. Vizu hi avodah kasha shebemigdash, and this is avodah kasha shebemigdash. This is the hardest thing to do. Zu hi vesu lo. Why is this the only hard thing to do in the base of Migdash? Veika malika, veika kmitza. Malika is not so easy. Kmitza is not so easy. Specifically, kmitza of a carbon that's already been boiled, that's already been baked. So it's not so easy to get exactly the kmitza. mitzah. El zui avodah kasha may avodos kasha shabamigdash. We mean to say that this is a difficult one amongst the difficult avodos in the mikdash. Machlokes Rishonim, whether that means to say it is the most difficult or it is one of the difficult ones. But shmamina chofin v'chazav chofin shmamina. But whatever it is, we do see from this brisa the fact that it goes through a lengthy description of exactly how you do the chafina lefnai v'lefnim. We see clearly that you do chafina lefnai v'lefnim. It's clear that it actually happens. Now Tosfos Daf Mem Zayin Amud Aleph raised the question. Wait a second, Bishinov, he's going to maneuver it with his teeth. Didn't we say on Daf Mem Zayin Amud Aleph that Hashta lefnai Melech Basar v'damei nosin kain lefnai Melech Malchay Melachem Hakadosh Baruch Hu alachas kama v'kama? You wouldn't even do this in front of a human king to use your teeth. That's terrible. So lefnai Melech Malchay Melachem, no one would ever do such a thing. So Tosfos had suggested on Mem Zayin Amud Aleph at the very beginning of the perek, he said that Hasameinu El Moshe Chabezach Etzlo. You're holding in your hands as you're moving it with your teeth. You're not holding it with your teeth, you're just maneuvering it with your mouth. That's not as much of a chutzpah as actually picking it up with your mouth. Also, it's only for a moment. It's not you're not carrying it. Previously, we were talking about maybe carrying it the whole way in your teeth. That's not what we're doing over here. It's only for a moment to just maneuver it very quickly. Those were the answers of Tosfos. What's this whole issue whether we want it to smoke up really quickly or we don't want it to smoke up really quickly? Why would we want Kadeshi Ashanim Maharis Lavo? Why would we want the room to smoke up very quickly and therefore scatter the Ketores over the coals? So Rabbeinu Eliyakim explains that it's in order to make the room smoke up quickly so that the person, the Kohen Gadol, won't be mistakel b'shechina, because that's going to be a sakana. He's going to want to get out of there very soon after that. That's what the pasuk means. Ki ba'anan eira ala kapores, that ba'anan is the ashana ketores, that in that smoky ashana ketores, he's not going to get such a good look at what's going on. The Rambam in Avodas Yom Kippurim Perek Dal Alecha Aleph sounds like he holds that you should pile it up so that it takes a while till it smokes up. However, it's interesting that Achronim point out that it's a stira, because the Rambam in the third parak of Hilchos Tamidin says that umaskul umashlich haketores ala ish benachas kamosha merakei tzolas, that it sounds like you put it down gently, slowly, a little bit at a time. Sounds like he wants the room to smoke up very quickly. So it's a stira in the Rambam. So some of the Achronim suggest that there's a difference between ketores of Kol Hashana, which he talks about in Hilchos Tamidin, and the ketores of Yom HaKippurim, maybe because of this very issue, that the whole reason, well, maybe it's the opposite, actually. Yeah, that it would make it go fast on... So yeah, so maybe by the that's what they suggest, that maybe by the Torah's Lefnei V'Lefnim, that since there's a din that he can't be Yotzi Misham Achi Yismalei Habayis Kulo Ba'ashan, that the whole place has to fill up with Ashan, that's a din of the Akhtaras Akhtaras. And if it was Mefazer, the Ashan is gonna dissipate too quickly. So he wants to pile it up so that it will be a nice thick cloud of smoke. So that's why they would be Tzover. So and the Shita that holds that you're Mefazer is because he holds that he should be memayit ba'ashna, so that he could for practical reasons, so that he could survive, or that it will happen more quickly, that it will fill up, even though it will also get rid of it, the smoke would go away more quickly as well. Okay, so that's in terms of chofin v'chazer v'chofin. Now the last discussion of our daf. Ibayilu shacharu meis ma'u sheikani sachar b'damo. Let's say the Kohen Gadol shachts his par and then he dies. Can the new Kohen Gadol use that dam? Do we say that just like there's a din, Kohen Gadol goes in Bepar, Bepar doesn't mean Bepar, it means even Damo Shel Par. He can use the dam of somebody else's par. Or maybe no, maybe we don't say Vafilu B'Damo Shel Par, he needs to go Dafka Bepar. So Rabbi Chanina Omer Bepar V'lo B'Damo Shel Par. Rabbi Chanina says it's got to be his own par. Rabbi Shlakish Omer Bepar Vafilu B'Damo Shel Par. Rabbi Shlakish says no, it doesn't have to be his own par, he can use the dam of the previous Kohen Gadol's par. Rabbi Ami Omer Bepar V'lo B'Damo Shel Par. Rabbi Yitzchak Omer Bepar. Rabbi Ami and Rabbi Yitzchak have the same machlokas. Say Esve, Rabbi Ami and Rabbi Yitzchak Nafchas. Rabbi Ami asks Rabbi Yitzchak Nafcha, Nimninu Moshkin Yidein Mimenu Ad Shiyishchot. By Karban Pesach, we say that you can continue to be Moshech Yadav from the Karban Pesach, to unregister from the Karban Pesach until the Shas Shchita. But Ve'im Isa, if you're going to say that even after an animal is shechted, we still consider it Vipar, even though it's just the dam that's around, so you say the same thing by Karban Pesach, that even after the Shas Shchita, shechita, it's still considered a seh. So ad she yizrog mi bayileh. So you should still be able to unregister from your Karban Pesach after the shechita up until the shazrika. So it says Gemara, no. Shayin yasam dechsiv mehiyos miseh mechiyusa deseh. Pasuk says mehiyos miseh, which we darshan means from chiyusa deseh. It has to still be alive. Masam razutra ein pol den lo beigav lo bechaya velo beshchuta velo betrefa velo beklaim velo bekaiva ela beseh. The pasuk, we darshan that you're not allowed to use a shechted animal to do pidyon petar chamar. So you see that it's not called a seh anymore once it's dead. Says Gemara, yeah, because shayin yasam dechsiv seh semi pesach. Because over there we learned out from Pesach, and we just showed that by Pesach it has to be mechiyusa deseh. Well, if you learn out from Pesach, imal alan zachar tam uben shana, afkan zachar tam uben shana, does it need to be unblemished and male and within its first year of life also in order to do pidyon petar chamar? So says Gemara, tam lomer tifta tifta riba. No, we have an extra riba to tell me it doesn't have to have all of those qualifications. E tifta tifta riba filu kulunami. Well, then it shouldn't have the qualification of having to be alive either. Imkain se mayahani le. No, but the word se has to teach us something. So we learned that part out from Pesach. Okay.